Let us pray. Father God, as we look to your word this morning, I pray that you will inspire our hearts and our minds to follow you more dearly. In your name, amen. Please do take a seat. So this morning we are looking at being what it is to follow the Good Shepherd and Jesus being the Good Shepherd. You may remember a few months ago I spoke on the parable of the sheep and the goats and how we're to be like sheep following Jesus' direction. And then it was a slight surprise a few weeks ago when I look at the lectionary for today and the theme of sheep has come up again. I don't deduce from this that God is calling me to farming. However, it's a good opportunity to look at something from a different direction. Jesus says he is the good shepherd. Now, when Jesus would have said this, the crowds would have had an idea of what being a shepherd was like. It was often a lonely job. You were often isolated, out in the fields, wandering away from the towns, away from civilization, away from most of society. Shepherds were also looked down on by society. They were seen as people who couldn't be trusted. Shepherds were not allowed to fulfill a judicial office. They were not allowed to be admitted to court as a witness. And the role of the shepherd was normally given to the youngest son. So it might be given to the first son that was then passed on to the second son, and it kept going down until it became the job of the youngest son. It's not a surprise, therefore, when we read about King David being found in the fields as a shepherd. He was doing the job that often the youngest son would do. A lot of Israel's heroes began their lives as shepherds. Abraham, Moses, Isaac, Jacob, and David. So what does it mean to be a good shepherd? Or when Jesus says, he is the good shepherd. What does a good shepherd do? Well, in a few months' time, we're going to be having our own new shepherd to lead us here at St. Paul's. And as I was preparing for this week, I felt that God might be saying a couple of things to us specifically as a congregation. Firstly, I was reminded of Bill Britt's sermon earlier this year. You may have been here to hear it, or you may have heard it online. And he was talking about preparing us to receive a new vicar when the new vicar comes. So as this morning, when we think about what a shepherd does, I think it's a good thing for us to think about what it means for us to be led by a new shepherd, what it means for us to prepare ourselves for the person that God is bringing amongst us to lead us from this field into the next. I also wonder if God is calling some of us to be shepherds. And by that, I don't necessarily mean ordination, although I'm not saying write it off either. But the role of caring for sheep and developing a pastoral heart, and maybe a ministry area that goes with that. But for all of us, let's be reminded who the good shepherd is that we're all following. So what is a good shepherd like? Well, the first thing, one would hope they would care for their sheep. When Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd, he is comparing a good shepherd to a hired hand, or a hireling is what they were often referred to. Now, Israel would have been aware of good shepherds or good leaders, people like David who had led them, people like Abraham, but they'd also had bad shepherds like Herod, who was in charge at that time. Now, one shepherd could handle around about 50 to 100 sheep, thereabout. But once their flock got over 100, they would often have a hired hand that would come and help. And the hired hand was not as committed to the sheep as the shepherd was. They were there for the money, and therefore they were not as reliable. So when Jesus is saying, I am a good shepherd, I'm not like the hired hand, that would have been familiar because people would have been aware that the shepherd may have brought in some extra helpers, but they wouldn't have been as good. Because the shepherd cared for the sheep, but the hired hand cared for themselves. When it was time for the sheep to go to sleep when they were out in the field, the shepherd would lead them into the cave, and he would lie in front of the cave to protect them if the wolf or anything else would come to try and attack the sheep. The shepherd would be the first line of defense. He would lay down his life for his sheep. But it was known, and it talks about it in the passage, that the hired hand would run away if the wolf came and leave the sheep, because his commitment wasn't the same. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand runs when there's trouble. The good shepherd protects his sheep from trouble. Another way that the shepherd cares for the sheep is that he cleans them. Now, sheep can be stubborn, and this can be quite a difficult process. They may not always want to be cleaned, but it's an essential process. It's not just cleaning the ticks out of their fleece and making sure that they're healthy and not being eaten to pieces. But if a sheep's fleece gets too thick, then it can get too heavy, and that can start to squash the sheep's stomach. Sometimes it means that the sheep can fall over and be unsteady. But also, this weight on the sheep's stomach can make the sheep's stomach start to fill with gas. And within a few days, that can mean the sheep could actually die. So cleaning the sheep, shearing the sheep, is part of being a good shepherd. Although, the sheep may not always appreciate that process. Jesus says he is the good shepherd, which means from time to time he will be involved in the cleaning and shearing process in our lives. And if we've been around the faith for a while, we will know that is true. We probably don't enjoy it. Sometimes we may even be a little stubborn about it. But it's important for our health. Jesus is a good shepherd, and he underlines the things in our lives which need to be removed because they're damaging us, or cleaned up because he cares for us. Secondly, a good shepherd feeds the sheep. When Jesus would have stood up and said, I am the good shepherd, what that would have meant to the hearers at the time is they would have realized he was connecting himself with God. God is described as a shepherd in the Old Testament, most famously in the psalm that we sung this morning, the Lord is my shepherd. God is feeding his people, feeding his sheep throughout the Bible, from manna in the desert, which he gives to the Israelites in the Old Testament, to Jesus feeding the 5,000 in the New Testament, through to many incidents where we see Jesus sat around with food, to the Last Supper, to the central part of our worship today, to communion. God is feeding us. But that feeding isn't just a physical feeding, but it's also a spiritual feeding. When Jesus, when he's resurrected and he's commissioning Peter to lead the church, he says to him very famously, feed my lambs. And then in the same commissioning, he goes on to say, feed my sheep. The inference that the sheep, the lambs, should become sheep. The lambs that he is feeding should grow and should mature. Because as we are fed, we will grow. Lambs become sheep in the care of a good shepherd. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And as we spend time with God, as we come to church, as we go to home group, as we read the Bible for ourselves, we will see our faith grow. I think it's easy to look back at the last 6 months, the last year, maybe even the last 2 years, and feel, oh, how much of that lamb to sheep process have I really done? But if we look back at the last 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 30 years, maybe even more for some of us. This should be an encouragement. The growth that we've seen under the Good Shepherd. I hope for those of you, and hopefully all of us, will do the booklet that Jill has given us to do last week and that we heard about today and is in the notices, where we'll write a bit of our story and a bit of our testimony. Because as we do that, I think it's good to remind ourselves that God has been working in our lives, God has been growing us, God has been taking us on a journey, and how encouraging that is. Thirdly, the shepherd leads the sheep. Now, shepherding in the East is different than over here in the West. It's not like one man and his dog, if you've ever seen that on a Sunday afternoon. Instead of kind of herding them from the back, a shepherd in the East leads from the front. So the shepherd goes out and the sheep come behind and follow. The shepherd goes first. The shepherd navigates the terrain. The shepherd sees what is ahead and goes before the sheep. Sometimes moving from one set of pastures to another can be quite unsettling for the sheep. Sometimes the conditions may not be as they hoped. On Easter Monday, when I was sat in my house and I could hear the rain thundering on the window and outside, I remember thinking of the young people going, wow, this is not the day for a long walk. It's probably not the conditions they would have chosen. The mud is probably not the terrain that they would have chosen. Because sometimes, as God calls us into new pastures and calls us to journey for him, the road isn't the way that we would necessarily choose it. As the famous psalm says, to get to green pastures, sometimes it is like going through the valley of the shadow of death. But the shepherd goes before us. The shepherd checks out the terrain. He knows what's ahead. And the sheep follow because Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. God goes before us in the situations where the grass is lush and green and a pleasure to picnic on. He goes before us when the road is muddy and it's hard to navigate. Sometimes we can see the next field and how beautiful it looks in the distance. We can see where God is calling us to, but we can also see what we've got to get through to get there. And we've probably all been in that. And I was thinking about those situations in life this week. And, you know, when I felt called to ordination, had to go and visit lots of different churches, then go through a 3-day interview called a bishop's advisory panel, which is a bit like being in Big Brother for 3 days. And then you do a set of training, and then you come and do some more training in a church. And there's this process to get there. But what I was also thinking about this morning, because it's the London Marathon today, some of you may know, the hottest marathon they think they've ever had on record. And you may not know this, but a number of years ago, I ran the London Marathon, which at the time, I wasn't a runner at all, actually. I entered it because I thought I could do with getting a bit of exercise in my life, and I'd read somewhere that you had to do something for 3 months to form a habit. So from that crazy thinking, I'd gone from, I could take up running, maybe I should do a marathon. And so I got a place, amazingly, and my first run was 0.72 of a mile, and I stopped 3 times. 6 months later, I ran the London Marathon. And I just remember in that process, there were some days it was really hard. Some days I would go into work, and I would have blisters on my feet that I did not know were possible to get that big. It was sore, and it was tough. But yet, being able to get to the end, to get the medal, to raise some money for a charity, yeah, it was worth going through the tough terrain. Now, in some ways, these are trivial examples because we can see what the end result is. But for most of us, to get to the thing that God maybe is calling us to, there will be some difficult ground to go through beforehand. A daily reminder of that is often parenthood for those of us who are parents. I would like to sit down and enjoy the end of the day, but we have to get through bedtime. You know it well. Fourthly, the shepherd knows the sheep. Verse 14 says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. God knows us. He knows what's best for us. From the parable of the lost sheep, we know that God seeks us out. I think one of the best things in life is to be known. I am most relaxed and most myself and at home when I am with friends that know me well, that have known me for a number of years. They know the good Gemma and the not so good Gemma, and they love me anyway. I think this is one of the biggest freedoms and one of the biggest joys of marriage. Someone who knows you so well and still chooses you. God knows us. God loves us. He chooses us. And this should bring us freedom. For us as a congregation, as we get to know each other better, as we go deeper into our friendships, this will also bring us freedom in our lives and security. Which is why home groups are so important. Not just that we learn more of the Bible, but we share more of our journey. We become more known. We become more free. Another thing I really like about Jill's exercise from last week is Jenny's going to get to know us. We're going to get known by our new shepherd. And that will help her to lead us even better. So Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He cares for his sheep. He cleans his sheep. He feeds his sheep. He leads his sheep. He knows his sheep. So this morning, are we willing to be cared for, to be cleaned, to be fed, to be led, to be known, and to go through another growth spurt from lamb to sheep? As our new shepherd arrives, we'll be willing for her to feed and care for us, even if it involves shearing things away at times that we might feel challenged or uncomfortable with, even if it involves being led to the next field, which might look nice, but we've seen the journey to get there. The Lord is our shepherd, and he has provided a shepherd to lead us. We are indeed a blessed flock. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you care for us. And your care for us means that you will clean us, feed us, lead us, and that you know us. Thank you that you are a good shepherd. You are not like a hired man. You lay down your life for your sheep. Lord, help us to follow you. Help us to submit to you where we need to. Help us to be bold in what you are calling us to. In your name, amen.